It's showtime.
We're trying to figure out what the heck we're going to do today for Carl and the WATP podcast. And all of a sudden, I saw, oh my God, the Amy Robach and TJ Holmes podcast is finally available. They've been waiting a full year to speak out and tell the truth, not their truth, but the truth. And wow, it was, I got to tell you, there were a lot of whoppers in that little podcast.
I'm so glad you two listened to it so I don't have to.
Yeah, it was
Carl.
Carl, how punishing was it for you?
This one's brutal. And guys, I don't watch GMA. I'm sure you know that. And it's funny because I was I'm down in our South Studios, and I was driving Trucker Andy and his wife to the airport this morning. And I said, guys, I'm listening to this podcast, TJ and Amy. Does anyone know who they are? And Andy's wife says, oh, yeah, those are those people who cheated on their spouses and got fired from their jobs.
No, that's exactly what they said. Didn't happen on the podcast. It's so weird. They did nothing wrong. They never violated company policy. Yet they got fired and they haven't worked for a whole year. How weird is that?
Well, I love the tagline they have in this show. They make it a point to say this. I'm sure they wrote this down. We are the folks who lost the jobs we love because we love each other. Oh,
God. No, they're so obnoxious together because they're so busy telling you how much they love each other and how great everything is, even though they lost some pretty incredible careers.
Well, that'll age well, too. People that are really in love right now.
Yeah.
Drew, they go back and forth. I know you listen to this, so we're going to get into all the highlights here. But they go back and forth between how much they love each other, how great the relationship is. And the way they say it, too, is so disrespectful of their exes. It's ridiculous. But then they also say they've had the worst year of their lives. They've been living in hell for the last year. It's like, which is it? Are you guys in the greatest relationship ever? Mm-hmm. Or are you living in hell? Because it can't be both.
No, and they're working on their relationship every day.
Oh, which is, I know. That's so annoying, too. It's so obnoxious. So let me read the description of the show. It says, hosts and executive producers Robach and Holmes are formidable broadcasting team with decades of experience delivering headline news and captivating viewers nationwide. Now the duo will get behind the microphone to explore meaningful conversations about current events, pop culture, and everything in between. Nothing is off limits.
Nothing.
If there's one thing that every podcast has in their descriptions, that nothing is off limits.
Wait a second. But they didn't talk about the women TJ was plowing before Amy at work.
That's so off limits.
I guess, no, maybe it wasn't off limits. They just didn't get around to it.
Yeah.
There's a few things off limits in this show. Amy and TJ is guaranteed to be informative, entertaining, and above all, authentic.
Oh, God.
I just like Nexium.
So let's start with my track number one. This is the introduction here. And a lot of easy laughs are happening. They're recording this in a hotel room or something. And there's a bunch of people in the room with them for some reason. You hear them all laughing.
Are there more than just these two that work on it? Do they have producers and stuff? Or is
they're at iHeartMedia.
Oh, so that's right.
They have all these advertisers. Like, this is their first episode. No one cares about this shit. And they have all of these national advertisers and everything. It's so annoying.
Oh, God.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Amy Robach.
And I'm TJ Holmes, and we ain't said that in a year.
It's been a hell of a year, too.
We have not introduced ourselves in any broadcast form in a year.
No.
It's weird.
We haven't spoken to many people in a year.
Yeah, like just each other, and here we are again.
Tight circle.
I should have done this podcast with somebody else, just to branch out a little bit. You're the only person I've talked to intimately in a year.
So sweet. Seriously. Okay. You say the nicest things to me.
She thinks TJ.
I'm sorry, guys. I mean, I've already heard it, but it's still funny. Go on.
How about the fact that nobody wants to talk to them, period? No one wants to talk to you.
But they didn't do anything wrong. I don't understand why would no one talk to them when they did nothing wrong. She laughs at everything he says, Carl.
And they're also so impressed with themselves. Now, I have to tell you, again, I mentioned it earlier. This is not part of my world. I don't know who these people are. I don't give a shit. But they think they're giant stars. And my track number two here, they'll talk about that.
And in the past, so you for 27 years, me for 23, have not gone probably more than 2 weeks without being and broadcasting without in some way, form or fashion being on television, broadcasting in some way.
We're nailing a new piece.
And we haven't done it for a year. And today is the first time in a year.
And today is actually a special day.
You want to call it that?
Well, it's almost apropos that we would have this podcast air on December 5th. Because December 5th, last year, exactly 1 year ago today, was the day we were told not to come into work.
Yeah. We never got a follow-up call to say come back.
No one knows.
Not
that.
Great chemistry. And by the way, it's hard without a teleprompter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice, Carl, they act as if the level of interest in them, I mean, that's, I think they're really blown away by, oh my God, everyone was talking about this. I couldn't watch news for a year. Yep. I mean, you would think that JFK and Marilyn Monroe were caught having an affair the way they act.
Yeah. And Drew, what blew me away about this is they're talking about, this was such a scandal, so scandalous. They had to explain all of the people who support them. And just this day they recorded this episode, they ran into someone on the elevator. This is my track number three, who supported them. It's amazing.
On our way this moment to this room to sit down for this podcast, the doors open to the elevator. We step in and a woman says, I know who you are. This just happened. Ooh. And she starts going in. I am such a fan of you guys.
Fake.
I am rooting for you. Congratulations. You look lovely. And as nervous as we are and have been all day in getting this together, that woman just put us at ease. It is just, it was the last thing that happened to us before we walked in here.
Bullshit!
Total bullshit.
That's so powerful. And Carl, didn't they meet someone at Barnes & Noble who actually cried because they were so upset about them losing their job and she's so happy that their love is winning out?
True. It's not just the woman at Barnes & Noble. It's the couple at the bar, the flight attendant, the truck driver. Track number four. This is ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
The couple at Bill's Bar & Burger in downtown New York that came up to us at the bar and said, guys, you should hear our story. The flight attendant who was so sweet to us, say, guys, I fell in love at work as well. The truck driver downtown, brother, rolled his window down. Big, tough guy. Yeah. Hey, I'm a fan of love. Congratulations. Those things have been incredible. And the woman at Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble. She actually got tearful.
Yeah.
And she just told us she missed us and she loved us. And to keep on loving each other. There was a woman on the escalator who just said, I am so happy that y'all are still together and that y'all love each other.
Who are these people?
A truck driver says he's a fan of love.
I don't think so.
What?
No.
If they remember the lady at Barnes & Noble and the truck driver and all that, there can't be that many people who are saying stuff because they just named very disparate people.
Well, also, you guys talk about this all the time. Why are people caught up in other people's relationships? Like, who gives a shit? You know, I understand Travis Kelce and you know, whatever. But when you're talking about these two people who are on GMA the third hour and you're that obsessed with it, you have to go and tell them, hey, he's like honking his horn. Hey, guys, I'm a fan of love. You guys do it. Like, what?
I know. And two totally fake people, too. They're so fake.
The banter sounds like the fake banter they had on GMA, like between stories.
Definitely.
It's terrible.
And they keep talking about how hard relationships are and how messy they are. Oh, relationships are just, they're so messy. But now I'm with my best friend. Hear that, Drew?
We got so tired of hearing about their each other's best friend. They must have said that 20 times.
Yeah. So this is my track number five. This is where we're talking about how she's so happy, but it's also been the worst year of her life.
We have gone through, I think it's fair to say, a year of hell. But we have had each other through it all and had a lot of support from our family, from a tight circle of friends. And we have hopefully gotten through the really tough stuff. And we have more work to do, as all relationships require. But it has been the most beautiful relationship I've ever had in my life.
Oh, God.
They keep trying to convince themselves, don't they?
Yeah.
Support from your family, who? Andrew Hsu?
Yeah.
Who's your family supporting you through this? What are you talking about? But also, Drew, don't you think that's very rude to say this has been the best relationship I've ever had in my life? You're just like calling out all of your exes with that.
Well, better than your children's father.
Yeah, you were just married for 10 years to someone, and that's a very important person in your kid's life, and it is kind of shitty. Yeah, absolutely. And as was all the PDA and him squeezing her ass in public, like right after this came out.
Oh, that's the crazy thing, too. So November 30th, they were outed, as they say, because
they were busted.
And what they say is that we are both in the middle of divorces. Andrew Hsu had moved out 3 months earlier. This was all on the up and up. People didn't know that because we didn't tell them. And of course, when this happened, when they were outed, they wrote a press release to explain their side of things. And I don't understand this. I think Drew was texting with me earlier today. I don't think he understands this either. My track number six, for some reason, they never put it out.
I hadn't even told my mom about the divorce. So why the hell am I thinking about telling an executive at the network about it? So that's just where our heads were. And hindsight, sure. And maybe we screwed up. But in the immediate crisis of it all, and I have it in my phone still.
Yeah.
Saved a draft from November 30th, the day this happened. Our statements, our draft statements that have never been released that said, you made a statement about what you were, in your marriage. I made a statement about my divorce is proceeding. And those statements were never released.
Why not? You could have put them out there.
Yeah. They really never explained that either. So for a year, no one heard their side of things. I'm sure that's something to do with them getting paid out by NBC.
ABC. Right?
ABC, yeah.
Yeah, no, they couldn't criticize their management. Also, they act like, well, the truth is, of course, it's so clean. We weren't cheating on our spouses. We were already getting divorced. TJ was not already getting divorced. That's a lie. And also, you know, when you have two anchors fucking each other, it's kind of a problem for the people that work around them. That's not good for the work environment. It's a big distraction.
You're supposed to tell HR.
And also... their spouses were very good friends with the other one and didn't. That's kind of a betrayal in that sense.
No, it's scant. And then it's just shitty all
also,
around.
Also, he was banging earlier chicks in the previous years. Right. He had totally nailed multiple younger chicks in the workplace who were not happy with him.
He's not done.
So it was messy. Well,
it's so funny, Mark, that you say you should have told HR because they're going to reveal now that they were going to. They were so close.
But you
didn't. It's just the worst timing possible. My track number seven, just the worst timing. I'm shocked.
Right before the pictures came out, we thought, should we tell them what's going on? And we thought, let's just get these divorces cleaned
up. Get these stupid people out of our lives.
Let's do it. But we had every intention of doing it. And we didn't believe, and I don't think we still do believe, we were doing anything technically wrong.
Technically, I mean, it's just look.
I don't know if TJ agrees.
We failed at being good crisis managers. We failed at being
good humans
or understanding some level of celebrity that neither one of us thought we had. And I'm not saying we
don't
do, but in that world, affiliated with the show we were affiliated, that's just a sexy freaking story. And I just don't think we thought about it in that way. That anybody would give a damn.
Now, there's a reason they didn't tell their kids or their spouses is because they were such great friends for all those years. It was a huge betrayal.
Well, they wanted to tell ways. They wanted both ways, too, because they're like, we were going to tell management. We were going to tell them, but we also didn't think it was a big deal. Who would care? We're not even celebrities.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? It's like, well, hold on a second. Which is it? You were going to tell them or you didn't think it was a big deal? And you didn't know why you would have to tell anyone.
And then
they never thought they were going to get caught. We caught them.
Then they act like they're so much bigger celebrities. Like when he says, I couldn't watch the news for a year. It's like you were off the news 10 months ago. Nobody gave a fuck. And she said paparazzi were outside all the time chasing him everywhere. No, they weren't. Right.
Well, also, I don't know if you remember this part, but they claim they were blackmailed with the photos. And they go, I'm not going to say who sent it to us, but they blackmailed us. Well, that's illegal. Out those people. Yeah. Arrest them if you were blackmailed with it.
Didn't they suggest their lives were threatened too?
Yes. It's crazy what they're saying on this.
Why would someone kill them for that? I mean, unless it's Andrew Hsu or his wife. It doesn't make any sense.
No one did.
It's made up. No, of course not.
All right, well, let's have some fun with it again, guys. I think things are getting a little too serious. By the way, they're about to get a lot more serious. We're about to learn something about TJ that's insane. I mean, the crescendo of this episode is actually quite intriguing, I'll be honest with you. But first, they're just a fun couple. They're so fun and flirty, and everyone laughs. My track number eight here.
I was in an apartment by myself that, look, Sabine helped me set the apartment up, right?
I helped a little too.
You helped a lot. No, you did.
I'm kidding.
No, I wouldn't have known what color dish towels to buy. Had it not been for you, baby.
Tough room. Tough room there, Carl.
Oh my Lord.
If you love, you have to love these two.
Love.
People fucking suck.
They're horrible.
I hate them so
much. I hate them so much, too.
This is where things take a turn, because everything is just like, you know, nothing's our fault. We didn't do anything wrong. We're in love with each other. We're the best. We're the best couple to ever exist on the face of the earth. And then we find out the day that they lost their jobs and they were outed, and it's all very, they're very distraught. TJ starts sending messages, and it seems like things are not going well for him. Like, maybe he's going to unalive himself. This is my track number 9.
You sent me a text basically saying, I'm sorry. You were the love of my life. I'm so sorry this has happened. And you just kept saying you were sorry, but you were using past tense in the entire text. And I texted back and I said, you're scaring me. Please tell me you're okay. No response. I'm calling you. I call. He doesn't answer. I FaceTime him. He doesn't answer his FaceTime. And now I'm getting calls from work. Producers trying to get in touch with him. He's not answering anybody. I start to panic.
I mean, I would too. This guy is saying, I'm sorry. You were the love of my life. And
I thought
now
he was dumping her, maybe. He was thinking about dumping her.
Anyway. Yeah. They couldn't get a hold of him. He's probably nailing another chick.
But was okay. Was he Markle-cidal? Was he suicidal in a Meghan Markle kind of way? Isn't that what it is?
Well, we're going to find out, because she's with her parents while she's getting these messages. And her parents say, we got to go. We got to go to his place in New York. We got to find him. We got to make sure he's okay. So my track number 10, this is how this goes down.
And so my dad and I, it was 2 hours later after he sent this text, we jumped into an Uber, and I was pretty hysterical. And my dad was holding my hand. And we got to his building, and I knew the doorman, and I said, I need to get up. He's like, I'm coming with you. I had a key, but he said, I'm coming with you, because this was Robert and he loves you.
Oh, yeah.
And he came up with us, the three of us, and I was shaking. And I remember going down the hall, opening the door, and my dad came in with me, and I saw you, and you were just splayed out on your bed. And I ran to you. I said, TJ, and you didn't move. And I remember it was the most awful thing, having to touch your body to see if you were warm. I was so afraid. You were just incoherent. You don't really even remember me coming, do you?
Kind of.
I said, baby, tell me you're okay. Tell me you're okay. And you were kind of just making no sense. But I knew you were alive, and I knew you were going to be okay.
What?
Their chemistry is amazing.
My favorite part of the whole thing is that the doorman Robert loves TJ.
Wait, how many drugs, how much drugs was he on where he doesn't even remember this?
He kind of does.
Okay. Also, wouldn't you be so glad for your TJ that she brought her dad?
Oh, I know.
Guys, we almost lost him. We almost lost TJ Holmes.
What's your fucking dad doing here?
So doesn't this sound like a very traumatic experience for Amy here?
Oh, yeah.
She thinks he's suicidal. She goes to his place. He's passed out of the bed. She thinks he's dead. He's not moving. He's not acknowledging. Basically, this is what TJ did, because he explains this after this. After he got home from work at 11 a.m., he chugged vodka and ate edibles until he passed out.
Yeah. Wow.
This is the guy you want to fall in love with. That's cool.
And he never did anything wrong. That's the weird thing. Why would he do that?
True. Was that crazy or what? Did he explain that he chugged vodka at 11 a.m. and ate edibles and passed out?
I'm not even
texting these crazy threats. I mean, basically saying that he's going to kill himself. What the hell is he doing?
I was really struggling with, okay, is this made up or something? Because miraculously, he went to work the next day and was on TV. That was the end of the story was,
it doesn't make any sense.
Didn't they find a ton of booze in their office, too? Or one
I
think of
they found
offices?
Some booze, but I don't think that was a big deal. But yeah, TJ's, I think people said there was booze on his breath at work sometimes.
Yeah.
So
it turns out Amy is a breast cancer survivor.
Oh, I'm so glad she brought that up.
She went through some really hard times in treatment for that. But not as hard as this.
This is number 11?
Yeah.
You feel this collective hug from people who are lifting you up when you're scared and you're going through all of these treatments. But this year, I wanted to die.
Well, she didn't have the collective hug. No one would talk to him.
Markle-cidal.
She wanted to die. Remember, they're in the greatest relationship they've ever been in. They've never been in a better relationship, and she wanted to die this year.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah, it sounds odd to me. I don't know.
Sounds kind of bipolar. Carl, I think she brought up her breast cancer like 3 times in this show. Because remember, she was doing a speech to breast cancer survivors when she found out.
Yep. And so, obviously, she's a victim. She wants the sympathy. I can't imagine if I told my wife, listen, I love you more than I've ever loved anyone else, but I also want to kill myself. I can't imagine that she would hear the part of I love you more than I've ever loved anyone else. I think the resounding message there would be like, things aren't great right now.
Yeah, they sound like a pretty kooky couple to me. And then based on the tabloid pictures, too, when all this is going on, they went down to Mexico and they're day drinking and he's got his hand on her ass and she's jumping into his arms. And oh, my God, they were really weird.
So the question is, a year later, they're finally explaining how this all went down and they didn't do anything wrong. My track number 12, I don't think this makes any sense to me.
I mean, I guess we could have tried to clear this up, if you will, at some point earlier. Yeah. But some folks told us early on, well, if you don't get ahead of it, you're done. And so that train left the station. There's nothing we could do to get people to stop saying what they were saying. We saw things that were 100% wrong. They were fabrications. They were lies. They were mistakes sometimes. But we did not for the past year. And a lot of this had to do with us trying to get our own homes in order. Look, a lot of damage was done. It's not even about the marriages.
What?
You can sue people that are saying things that are wrong, that are lies. You don't have to wait a full year to explain it.
Well, no. The train had already left the station, Drew.
Okay, so then you have to wait a year.
You're like, the information's out there, so I guess we can't correct it. I love the fact, too, that he goes, we were so busy explaining this to our children that we couldn't actually come out with a public statement. No, you can do both. You can do both of those things on the same day, quite frankly. It wouldn't be hard.
Yeah, I think there's a few networks and shows that would have loved to have them on, but I guess they couldn't.
They were talking to reporters every day. Remember that, Drew? They're talking about how reporters were calling them every day.
Oh, that part. When they claimed that, we explained to them that we're in the middle of a divorce and we're just two people dating who are leaving their respective spouses. And, they dropped the stories. They didn't do anything. But some of the others, some of the tabloids then continue to do stuff. But none of the major media. That is bullshit.
Well, then they blame getting fired by ABC for making it a big deal. Like, this wouldn't have even been a story. We talked to reporters. They weren't even going to run it. And then we got fired by ABC or suspended, whatever it was at first. And so then everyone ran with it. So it's ABC's fault, obviously.
Yeah, I think what happened was once they got taken off the air, it became pretty apparent and a lot was written about what TJ, what was going on with him in the workplace for the last 10 years. And so he wasn't going to survive. And I think they became a team, which is their mistake. If they're stuck together professionally, they will not be together long.
Speaking of ABC. So they talk about how the worst part about this, we played the earlier clip where they've been in broadcasting for 23 and 27 years, respectively. And they just said, the worst part is we don't have our job. We have these great gigs and we don't have our jobs anymore. And how are we going to live with this not having a job? My track 13 turns out not so bad.
That works. Nervous about how we were going to handle the two of us not working. And
turns out it's not so bad.
We actually found a way to think, I can do things. I can go places. I can spend time with people who and on things. And we've watched a lot of television. I will say that.
Yeah, I don't think she liked watching television. I have a feeling that's a little problem between them.
We had no job and we spent no time with our kids.
Yeah. They seem like they were having a blast. Yeah. They're just like, I don't have to get up anymore. I'll sleep in. I'll watch TV.
Deal with my kids. Don't have to deal with my exes.
Who cares that you're not making $2.5 million a year when you can do all this fun stuff at home?
Yeah, well, that stupid job, they want me drinking at 10 a.m. Things are way better now.
No, I think that's the real underlying problem is they both had very lucrative careers that is down to getting paid $50,000 as a bonus to do a podcast. That's a pretty rough offer after a year.
Yeah, I don't know how this show is going to survive. Maybe they have fans. I don't know anything about them.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I can't imagine people are tuning in for this.
I mean, just that truck driver.
Yeah.
Oh, the lady at Barnes and Noble.
The guy who was rooting for Lava.
Yeah, the person on the elevator. Yeah. No, so they got like six listeners.
They're so annoying. Anyone who has to tell you all the time how in love they are, it's disgusting. Nobody wants to hear that.
All right, let's talk about someone way more important than TJ and Amy. And that's, of course, Rachel Yucatel. Now, you guys were playing this podcast yesterday.
Yeah, this is Tiger's Hoe Bag. Tiger's Hoe Bag.
Yes, Tiger's Hoe Bag. But also, she lost her fiance in 9/11.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, and she got $5 million from Tiger to shut up.
Yeah, pretty good deal.
And she blew it out her ass on some stupid children's clothes business. That's why she's trying to do a podcast now to make money, because she's broke.
Well, again. And you guys are pointing this out. So Misunderstood on YouTube gets no views. I checked out an episode with Baylen Dupree because I'm a huge Baylen Dupree fan. Anyone who ever watches Who Are These Socials or listens to my show, she's on TikTok. We talk about her all the time. She has Tourette's. She's hilarious. And as Brandon pointed out, very big boobs. So I'm a fan.
Carl, is Tourette's, is that a big thing as far as having lots of followers on TikTok? There's more than Baylen Dupree, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we actually follow a bunch of these Tourette's girls who do very well. There's Sweet Anita. There's Keat on TikTok. There's all of these girls. There's a couple other ones we've checked out that are trying to get famous by having Tourette's. And I don't think Tourette's works the way that these women have Tourette's. It doesn't seem right.
They always have the most severe symptoms when they're posting, which isn't that kind of weird?
And they get new tics every day. New tics.
Yeah. They keep getting new and funnier tics every day. It's literally Eric Cartman from that South Park episode. It's like, well, you can just swear if you say you have Tourette's. He's loving it. That's what this sounds like. And it's funny, too, because as Rachel's introducing Baylen Dupree before the show starts, she's pretending that Baylen is popular because she's bringing awareness to Tourette's syndrome. That's not why she's popular at all. And she keeps saying how funny Baylen is. She's like, and she's so funny. No, it's just because she yells out swear words.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't tell any jokes.
So this is funny because Rachel, I guess the reason why she found out about Baylen's through her daughter. Her daughter's a big fan of Baylen on TikTok. So Rachel DM'd Baylen to get her on the show and didn't hear back because Rachel has 300 people watching her show. So why would Baylen care? She has 9 million subscribers on TikTok. But thankfully, thank God, my track 14, thank God that Rachel's daughter was in an accident.
Oh my God.
So the way I figured out how to get you is that my daughter was in an accident and I decided to look you up on Cameo, and I found you on Cameo. And I requested that you send something to my daughter, like a get well card. And you did. And I also said at the very end, listen, I'm not trying to be a stalker, but I would love you on my show. Here's my cell phone. And it worked out. You sent my daughter the most wonderful Cameo. She just like burst into tears. She sent it to everyone.
Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine if she wasn't in that accident? She never would have gotten this great get for her show. Thank goodness for that.
What a break. And Baylen's just ticking away. I guess, does she tick 24 hours a day?
Well, I don't know way too much about Baylen. She talks about this all the time. There are sometimes she ticks more than other times. It has to do with how anxious she is. But she also has OCD. She has to do things in three. Oh, and that gets crazy, too.
Yeah.
And my track 15, this is why we love Baylen. This is what's funny about her.
When I was in high school, my symptoms were very, very mild. And it was almost like living like a normal life. It didn't impact anything that I did. I probably wanted up. Oof. Tippy, tippy, top, that wiener tap, rotisserie chicken. I probably had 10 ticks a day.
Baylen. Hitting all the hits chicken. Right there. That's great.
Wait, when she's talking really fast, what'd she say?
Boo, boo.
Tippy, tippy, tap that rotisserie chicken, tap that wiener.
Wind up. Oof. Tippy, tippy, tap that wiener, tap the rotisserie chicken. I probably had 10 ticks a day.
And now she has 10 ticks a sentence.
Yes.
That went up quite a bit.
She's not getting better.
She loves to say, tap that wiener. Well, but she says, tippity, tippity, tap that wiener, tap that rotisserie chicken. And she's talked about how she goes to Costco and they have the rotisserie chickens out and she has to walk over and tap them. It's a big problem for her.
I can't believe how much you know about Baylen Dupree, Carl.
Oh, he's quite the fan. In fact, you can follow all of Carl's Baylen Dupree fun at Who Are These Socials, where they get into her almost on a weekly basis.
I check her out every week because actually I pulled some clips from this show that I'm going to play on WATS this week. They're like kind of deep. They're a little bit too deep for the Drew and Mike audience, but I thought for WATS we could definitely talk
about. Don't underestimate her audience, Carl.
So no, she's huge. Mm. And one of the things you guys were talking about when you were just checking out Rachel, you could tell, is that she doesn't talk very much in her own show. She says a sentence or two, and then the other person just takes it away. And the same thing with this show. So there wasn't a lot of Rachel going on, but she does have these commercial breaks that are awkward AF.
Oh, God.
Me and the dog aren't close anymore.
Is that the dog you have on your social media, the little white dog?
No, the other dog is Yelly, and he's an 8-pound Maltipoo, and he's the meanest dog you'll ever meet. He's bit everyone in our family. It's so bad.
Mine does that too. Yeah. We are all on the hunt for the perfect holiday gift this season, and I have the best gift that you can give yourself.
Non sequitur.
That was great. That was awesome.
So these commercial reads aren't done on the spot. They're pre-recorded and they just show the logo of her podcast, her doing that weird pose. And then they have these long commercial breaks that happen and they're not well placed. That one was for Honey Love that has revolutionized bras.
Watch it again now that you know it's coming too.
Mine does that too. Yeah. We are all in the hunt for the perfect holiday gift this season, and I have the best gift that you can give yourself.
I mean, without the visual, it will sound even stranger.
This show has no audience. How are there commercials for it?
That's a great question because there's a lot of commercials.
That's got to be the bad buy of the year.
Yeah, it's not great. Maybe people are listening and not watching. She's a little off-putting to look at, so maybe that's why. Yeah, the view counts aren't high on YouTube.
Yeah,
I'll look it up, but I really don't think there's anyone listening.
I don't think so either. So, well, didn't you guys say it was a top 10 podcast?
No, she said it was. Yeah,
it is not.
Sounds pretty important to me. Okay. My track number 17, great question. Where do your tics come from? And this is, again, this is literally Eric Cartman.
There has been times where, like, for example, there was a blow up rocket wiener. There was a blow up rocket ship for Halloween rocket wiener like that across the street. And Colin was like, where are you seeing rockets? And I said, rocket wiener right over there. Like that house has one blown up right there. And he was like, oh my God. So they can literally come from, I was like, yes, they can literally come from absolutely anything. And it's so mind boggling because I literally don't mean anything I say. Fat ass.
I don't mean anything I say. Drew sucks. Fat ass.
Rocket wiener. Oh, man.
She's so fun. You guys should follow. If you aren't following Baylen Dupree on TikTok, I recommend it. She's a good time. So I have one more clip on here I want to play.
Carl, I want to ask you a question, though, because you follow Baylen so carefully. Has anyone in the field analyzed Baylen and, you know, how unusual her excessive tics are?
Oh, yeah. She gets questioned on this all the time. In fact, it came up in this podcast of people who say she's faking. And she gets very upset when people think that she's faking. I do think she has OCD.
Yeah.
Because the OCD is harder to fake, because she does do everything in threes. I watched this very closely. She's got some weird things going on. In fact, one of the clips I have that I'm going to save for WATS, she does this thing where she has to hit her head on the wall of the shower. So one time she did it 36 times and passed out.
Oh, my God. Ooh,
so now she has to shower in her parents' shower, and she has to wear a bikini in case she knocks herself out and people find her. She doesn't want to be naked. It's like, that's nuts. That's crazy time.
Why don't they have padded showers for her?
She might need like that carpeted shower.
Wow.
So gross. So Rachel sucks at her job. She's not good at this at all. This is an example of her trying to ask a question. She'd actually written down a stat. She could have easily just memorized this. It's not a hard one. But then she asks a question that's so difficult to understand because she's talking about OCD versus Tourette's. Hmm.
not everyone that has Tourette's has OCD, but it sounds like, you know, it's between, I think it says something like 30 and 50% of people that have Tourette's have OCD as well. I think that that's correct. So is there a cure? Is there medication for something like this? Your Tourette's we're talking about now. It's for the Tourette's, for the tics.
She brings up OCD and Tourette's. And she goes, is there a cure for this? Which thing? What are you talking about?
What did Malin just say? Did she say something about your tits?
I thought she was asking. I thought she was asking which one, OCD or Tourette's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So is there a cure? Is there medication for something like this? Your Tourette's we're talking about now. It's for the Tourette's, for the tits.
I think it's OCD or your tits.
That's what I thought I heard, too.
She said she did take medication for Tourette's, but she gained 30 pounds in 2 months. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get off that. That
seems like something that you look up before you interview someone about Tourette's.
I mean, if there was medication, she's not going to take it. I mean, this is her job now.
Yeah, right. I know. She's a star.
I mean,
she
must have... nobody's that good of an actress. She must have some form of Tourette's, but maybe she can amp it up a little bit or not take medication and knock it down.
Well, it seems odd to me because as she's talking about in high school, she barely had any tics. She would like just tweak her neck or something.
You can barely, yeah.
And now it's turning into she has catchphrases that she repeats over and over again. And she repeats, like you saw that one time where she's just like, tap that rotisserie chicken, wind it up, you know, fuck. She's got all these different things. There was this one on July 4th last year. She goes, guys, I have a new tech. She's in her car. She's like, guys, I have a new tech. And USA. Like just a tick. And she's got Christmas ticks now. I just playing at WCS last week. Oh. she's got Christmas ticks, so they're seasonal. Oh, it's amazing. Great.
I don't understand why.
Line up. tippy top that wiener, tap the rotisserie chicken. Yeah,
I don't understand why she's going on a show that reaches like 1,000 people when she reaches millions. She must not do any homework on determining whether or not to do this interview.
Well, she got a cameo, Drew. Rachel, you can tell paid for the interview.
Thank God.
Yeah, she's booking guests through cameo.
Do we know what she charges for a cameo, by the way?
I don't know.
$200. Let's look it up because I actually want to get one for Blind Mike. Don't tell him.
In the meantime.
I want to surprise him with it.
Want to know. Oof, tippy top that wiener, tap the rotisserie chicken.
She also says little baby wieners a lot too. I've always heard. So she is on Cameo and she is for $80.
Man, okay.
$80.
Very reasonable.
Booking interviews for $80.
Good job. I want one of those.
She's got a 4.95 star rating. She's killing it.
Damn.
Good for her.
This Rachel Yucatel show, honestly, is this the first? It's got to be the first season, right?
And last.
I think so, yeah.
I will be so shocked if there's another season of that. Do you think they paid her a little chunk of change to do this?
Oh, yeah. No, she's definitely making money on it. Like I said, there's a lot of advertisers.
But somebody's losing money, too, because there's no way, if they're paying her something, there's no way they're getting it back.
True.
There's nobody watching.
Advertisers are paying for advertising and no one's watching or listening to the show. Then yes, someone is losing money. That's how that works.
That's the only point I wanted to make.
Correct. Yes. 100%.
No, it's ludicrous. I want to know who's buying the ads because I want to make sure they never buy ads for me. Why would they do that? That's terrible.
Well, it sucks too, because I think you probably know this. I've been in advertising most of my life. So you'll get these advertisers now who just go, oh yeah, podcasting doesn't work. Mm. Oh yeah, podcast advertising. Sure. We tried it; it doesn't work. It's like, no.
You tried the wrong one.
Yeah, Rachel, you can tell it's not podcasting. Yeah. I promise you that.
Or they bought a bundle for iHeart, and they've got placed in places that nobody listens, like Amy and TJ.
Yeah, they probably buy and they throw them on 100 different podcasts, to reach 10,000 people. None of them reach anyone individually, but all together.
We didn't mention the happy news with Amy and TJ and that whole situation. And it's that Andrew Hsu and TJ's ex they're now dating.
Yeah, how weird is that?
Craziest part about this. You guys sent me that article before we did the show. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they did a switcheroo.
It was the toughest year in their life as well, but now they found happiness.
This is a revenge fuck, am I right?
Oh, yeah.
It has to be a revenge fuck.
And Amy and TJ, especially Amy, are going to be so mad when they read the story, which says but they develop a camaraderie over being cheated on. You know, they've both been cheated on. It's like, what? I thought they had left the relationship completely. How can you say that?
And then Andrew Hsu's sending him pictures and videos of them fucking. That'd be great if he's just sending tons of pictures.
Well, he had to look at TJ That's squeezing I mean. His wife's ass all That's the time. I mean,
they should recreate all those photos.
It's a great idea.
Amy and TJ.
Excellent idea.
But nude.
Yeah. All right. So what's going on in the Dabbleverse, Carl? Anything new?
Oh, my gosh. There's so much going on in the Dabbleverse. We put out an excellent episode of Who Are These Podcasts, if I do say so myself. This past episode, we put out the falling out between Howard Stern and Stuttering John. When Stuttering John left for The Tonight Show, Howard wasn't mad at Stuttering John. He was mad at Jay Leno. But Stuttering John, in his way, found a way to really piss off Howard and make Howard hate him. And so we documented that going back years before when Stuttering John was being interviewed by local newspapers for stand-up gigs and then also going on Adam Carolla's show and bashing Howard Stern and Howard reacting to that. And so that's a lot of fun, a little trip down memory lane. Maybe you haven't heard that.
No,
to find out how John really fucked up that relationship.
Excellent episode. I loved it. And I wanted to tell you, I was going to text you last night, but I've just sent you so many long texts lately about my observations on Stuttering John's show. I'm like, I got to stop doing this.
Always appreciate it. Don't stop.
Okay.
Don't stop.
Okay. Joey C was on, and John took so long to explain to Joey C why he was mad at Opie for putting up this, you know, look at so-and-so trashed Stuttering John. And then when you play the clip that he put on Twitter, he wasn't trashing Stuttering John. It was just kind of a, I don't know, maybe it was clickbait or something. But Stuttering John takes forever to explain this to Joey C. Then he takes forever to get the clip up so he can play it. And or just the picture of the tweet up, and Joey C's just sitting there. And so finally he plays like, can you believe he's trashing me like that? And Joey C's first response was, well, what does the clip say? Because if the clip isn't that bad, no, I wouldn't be that mad. And then John basically forces him to say that he would be upset after, but it takes about 5 minutes.
Drew, it's so funny you didn't send that to me, because last night we're watching the football game outside and I get a note from another friend of mine, and he sends me, he goes, you have to watch Stuttering John with Joey C. You're going to have a billion clips from this show. So me and Andy are out there with our wives, and we're watching the football game halftime. Like, all right, let's see what's going on with the show. So we turn on Stuttering John. The wives are like, all right, we're out of here. They go inside. We lose them. We're sitting there watching freaking Stuttering John last night instead of watching a football game. I'm like, okay, what am I doing with my life? I got to stop doing this. You were not alone in thinking that was a hilarious episode of John with Joey C.
And just when he brings you up, he's determined to bring up the clip that says WATP, but he's, and then Carl scream, which is really obnoxious. I hate when he plays that just because it's annoying and loud. Yeah, the levels
really
are bad on
jingle.
It. But it always takes him like seconds to get the clip up. It's never ready.
Yeah, hold on.
That's pretty good.
Goes, five seconds. You mean this guy? Hold on. You mean this guy? And then he pulls up a stupid thing. He's like, yeah, we know it's coming. We got it.
It's the worst clip. It's not funny, and it's too loud. But
also, I just want to tell you guys, you know, I'm down in Florida. I was hanging out with my buddy Nick over at his house. He's from Detroit. We were watching the Lions game. That was a fun game.
Right. Nice.
So glad they pulled that one out. Also, go blue, Alabama. That's going to be a fun game. I lost my first half bet because they couldn't cover 13 freaking points.
Oh,
13 points in the first half, but I got my second half bet. Yeah. So it was okay. That's all on the slide.
They've been a good team to bet on the last couple of weeks.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Past year.
Yeah.
Wasn't the line, the over-under for Iowa, a half a point in the first half?
First half, yeah.
So I was looking for that. I couldn't find it where I do my betting. And thank God I didn't find it, because I was going to bet the over. I'm like, how is this possible?
I know. Not only that, it was a good value. It was plus 100. It's like, wow. That's, yeah. Gosh, how do you not bet that? They must have made a killing.
Did you see the bets for the Dr. Pepper challenge, Carl?
I heard you guys talking about that. I didn't see that.
I love the Dr. Pepper challenge. It's so stupid. I love it. Anyway, okay, great stuff. And we'll be looking for the new episodes. And have a great day, Carl.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Much appreciated.
Oh, one last thing.
Wind it up. Oof, oof, oof. Tippy, tippy, top that wiener, tap the rotisserie chicken. I probably had 10 ticks a day.
She's the best. All
right. I love seeing her do the jack off thing. I guess that's part of her tick.
See ya.